This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday with a bunch of different stuff I want to get to this hour. We're going to talk about the left complaining about how biased the media is. We're going to talk about America's foreign policy, how we're handled on the world stage. We'll make fun of a couple chicks crying to each other on the news. All that and so much more coming up in the final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. Now, There's something we should talk about our country and the state of our country and how the world deals with us and looks at us. And we've had this talk before, but I want to talk about the differences in the parties and what your country can withstand versus what your country cannot withstand, right? Because your country, it can survive a lot of domestic differences between the party. Now, not endless domestic differences. And we are probably at the stage where we're too far separated domestically. We've been talking about immigration, but you can really make it about everything. You don't have to be as pro-life as I am, but when you believe that you should be able to abort a baby when it's crowning, our differences might be too pronounced, if you will. That's bad. It's a really bad place to be. But we'll set aside domestic. Foreign policy-wise, there should not be major, unbelievable differences between the two political parties. And let me explain that in a couple different angles. One, that's not something that should actually happen at all, because no matter what, you would hope both political parties have their top interest being the country they currently represent. Ideally, it wouldn't matter if you had 50 political parties inside of your country. If they come from inside of your country, hopefully all of them are pro-America, right? That's what would be ideal. Now, we've gone a different way, as we've laid out many times before. Setting aside the uselessness of how complicit Republicans are, and why I screwed that word up, Democrats hate the country. Now, that manifests itself in a lot of different ways domestically, but foreign policy-wise, it really, really, really puts us in an almost impossible situation to overcome. This is what I mean. Right now, it doesn't matter who you are, whether you are a friend, foe, whether you are neutral, whether it's Switzerland, Mongolia, Israel, the UK, or Sudan, and all of those countries, everyone on the planet understands that when a Republican takes over, there will be a huge difference in how they conduct foreign policy and who they conduct foreign policy with. And if a Democrat takes over after the Republican, that you can basically flip that all 180 degrees. Turn it around 180 degrees. Who were your friends are now your foes. Who were your foes are now your enemies. The two parties are so far apart foreign policy-wise that if we're going to look at it from their perspective, if you are Mongolia, how do you put up any kind of an ongoing foreign policy with America when you know you are going to get black or white, hot or cold, heads or tails, depending on how the presidential election turns out. Because we're not even talking about Congress. This is all about the presidency, because the president, for the most part, sets the foreign policy of the country. So if you're Mongolia, we'll make it about them. How would you deal with America? What America do you plan on dealing with? Because you need some sort of stability for the longevity of the relationship. You need that. I've brought this up before. This is a popular one. Israel. Because people feel all kinds of different ways about Israel. No, I'll lay down and die for it. No, screw that. I hate all the Jews and everywhere in between. People feel a million different ways about it. But I've said before, and people get mad, but I don't care. I believe we should break off all diplomatic ties with Israel. And I think they should break them off with us. And here's why. If you're Israel, well, the left hates you. They've been open about the fact that they hate you. Israel didn't prosecute that war against Hamas the exact way they wanted to because the Biden administration kept stopping them. And then, of course, you get the exact opposite. Trump gets in there. He's like the most pro-Israel president in the world. They call the Golan Heights the Trump Heights. They got Trump billboards over there. So Trump goes the exact opposite way. No, go all in. Kill them all. Let God sort them out. But then Israel has to wait 4 years if a Democrat gets back in. Why would you even bother with that? Break off ties and go do your own thing. I'm going to play you something Jamie Raskin said. And Jamie Raskin is awful. I know that, but we're going to get beyond the hatred of Raskin or hatred of Democrats. Put yourself in the shoes of another country. I don't care what country it is. Make it about Ireland. Right? All right. Make it about Ireland. If you're Ireland and you're trying to figure out the foreign policy you want when it comes to America, with trade, with military cooperation, with the critical ways countries interact with each other, and you hear this from Jamie Raskin, how are you supposed to operate?
It's a complement to something that we need to be doing right now, which is engaging in far more work of transnational democratic solidarity with the democratic governments and the democratic movements and peoples and parties of the world.
Totally agree.
Just a heads up, we are going to come back to that. That's international communism is what he's talking about, but I'll let him continue. That's not important for right now.
Try to prevent the spread of the lawlessness and the fascist chaos that's been unleashed against us. But implicit in it should be the idea that if and when we come back to power, and we will, we are not going to look kindly upon people who facilitated, to use a word of the day, who facilitated authoritarianism in our country. Because that's an assault on our Constitution and on our people.
Well, for one, let's go ahead and read between the lines. We know specifically who he's talking about right there from the language he used. He's talking about Bukele in El Salvador. The Trump administration, they align with Bukele. Bukele's the one who took all the dangerous criminals in the murder capital of the world, threw them all in a cage, and now El Salvador is like the safest country in the Western Hemisphere. And Bukele has chosen to work very closely with the Trump administration in taking in a lot of our nastiest foreign illegals. He has an incredible facility down there where he's taking them. Well, that's Jamie Raskin, high-powered Democrat in the House of Representatives. That's him threatening the president of El Salvador. That's exactly what that is, and everyone knows what that is. I'll play it again. This is Jamie Raskin. And by the way, in case you're wondering if this is legal, it is not. This is Jamie Raskin openly and honestly letting Bukele know there will be consequences when we come back.
It's a compliment to something that we need to be doing right now, which is engaging in far more work of transnational democratic solidarity with the democratic governments and the democratic movements and peoples and parties of the world.
Totally agree.
To try to prevent the spread of the lawlessness and the fascist chaos that's been unleashed against us. But implicit in it should be the idea that if and when we come back to power, and we will, we are not going to look kindly upon people who facilitated, to use a word of the day, who facilitated authoritarianism in our country. Because that's an assault on our Constitution and on our people.
That's a huge deal. And it's not even necessarily huge just for El Salvador, although it's huge for El Salvador. El Salvador is a tiny country. They're economically a tiny speck compared to us. And because of their location, you know, right over there underneath us, we do have the ability to generously reward or basically destroy El Salvador. Look, the world's unfair. The world's never been fair. That's life. We are a juggernaut. They are teeny tiny. They can get a nice little boost from us, or they can get absolutely destroyed by us. That's a Democrat, a powerful Democrat in the House of Representatives, telling El Salvador that they're going to be punished for taking our illegals. If you're Ireland, how do you work with America? Who do you even work with? Do you even bother? We'll continue on this really quickly. Before we get to that, I want to talk to you about saving a baby's life. An unborn baby. You know, Roe versus Wade, it's great that it got overturned. I'm happy. You're happy. Everyone's happy. Babies are still dying at the same pace. The fight goes on. The fight is as intense now as it ever was. But how do we, if overturning that horrible decision didn't save the babies, then what does? You did. Do you know how many babies you saved last year with preborn? 67,000. 67,000. Preborn, bringing in a mother who's about to abort her baby, giving her a free ultrasound. She hears the heartbeat. She chooses life almost every time. You did that with preborn. Maybe you gave $28. That's what the ultrasound costs. And maybe you never thought about it again. Bah, I gave it. Bah, I wrote it off on my taxes. By the way, you write it all off on your taxes. 67,000 people are alive today because of what you did. Thank you. Do it again. Preborn.com/Jesse is where you give. Preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Now back to the very first thing Jamie Raskin said. International cooperation. Well, I don't want to put words in his mouth. I'll let him say it.
It's a compliment to something that we need to be doing right now, which is engaging in far more work of transnational democratic solidarity with the democratic governments and the democratic movements and peoples and parties of the
transnational democratic solidarity. That's international communism. That's what he's talking about. And when he's talking about solidarity, here's what he means. The communist has always known something, because it's true. Remember, it's a revolutionary religion. It's a revolutionary religion. It spawned from being out of power. Out of power. We are not in power. We want power. And because it's a revolutionary religion, it has always found its true strength in the mob, in greater numbers. And so whenever they find themselves lacking in power or out of power, they will simply go recruiting. That's what they do. They recruit. And we all know who they recruit. You and I have discussed it many times. They go find the malcontents in any society and they recruit them. They bring them in. So now that Democrats in America, they don't have the House, they don't have the Senate, they don't have the presidency. Yes, they still have all kinds of things. They feel a little bit powerless. And that's why they're now moving on to talking about international cooperations. And they're following that up with threats of the countries who are working with us. What's Jamie Raskin saying? What's he calling for here? What's he saying?
It's a compliment to something that we need to be doing right now, which is engaging in far more work of transnational democratic solidarity with the democratic governments and the democratic movements and peoples and parties of the world.
We Democrats may be out of power here in America, but we could get a lot more power here in America if we worked closely with other communist governments, like the one in the UK, like the one in Canada, like the one. If we join together, you foreign countries who are still run by communists, if you join with us, the minority party, the Democrats here in America, and we become one big communist team, then together we can take down and stop Donald Trump once and for all. When the communists are out of power, the communists recruit. They go on a recruitment drive. That's what communists do whenever they're out of power. Once they're in power, they turn into horrific, murderous tyrants, and they kill everyone who opposes them. When they feel like they're out of power, it's recruitment drive time, baby. Hey, we need more malcontents here in America. What's that? We don't have enough? Let's go shopping, boys. It's time to go to the UK. It's time to go to there. And by the way, while we're at it, let's throw in a little threat to anyone who happens to work with Trump. We'll remember you. We will remember you. How in the world do we overcome this level of separation, foreign policy-wise, between the powers? Iran. I mean, think about Iran. Iran having a nuclear weapon is insane. This has been something that Democrats and Republicans have understood really since the invention of the atom bomb. Hey, it's been invented. You can't uninvent it. But now that it's been invented, because of its destructive power, you really have to prevent most people from getting one. Oh, what's this? An Islamist regime that wants war? Well, that's not a Democrat or Republican thing. That's just being, I hate to even, oh God, forgive me for using this term. Being a citizen of the world means you shouldn't want Iran to have a nuclear weapon. Existing on planet Earth shouldn't be left or right. Barack Obama got into office, boom, promptly made a deal with them trying to get him the bomb. And then, of course, Trump takes back over after 8 years of Obama and says, no, you're stopping that. You're stopping that. Joe Biden gets back in promptly. Hey, deal's back on the table, boys. Enrich that uranium, Iran. Then Trump has to take back in. Hold on. Nope, you're not getting that. That's not going to be allowed. This yin and yang back and forth foreign policy is not good. Jesse. I'm from a blue state where holding the door open for women is offensive because, quote, she don't need no man. Buddy, you need to move. I keep telling you blue staters, it's not just about taxes. It's not just about escaping George Soros prosecutors and things like that. That's not just about that. I've lived in red. I've lived in blue. I've lived in the Northeast, in the South, in the Northwest, in California. I've lived all over the place. It's just how my life has been. There is a noticeable, extremely noticeable difference in your day-to-day interactions with people when you are in a red area. Are you going to run into rude people? They're everywhere in Houston. Of course you're going to run into rude people. But your daily interactions are exponentially better and more pleasant when you're not surrounded by Democrats. Contrary to popular belief, you don't need Democrats in your life anywhere. And in fact, the fewer Democrats you have, the better your life will be. Because it's a malcontent. It's a malcontent religious zealot dragging you down. Separate yourself from them. Buddy, who wrote this email? There are women all over Texas that'll give you a thank you, sir, when you open up the door for them. They may even give you their number. Let's do some more emails next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
But you do want to be informed.
Can you be informed without being all of those other things? We think so. Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty, the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We try to bring you the truth
and help you figure out this crazy modern world.
If you shoot at us and we deflect it, it doesn't really count. And that just doesn't make any sense. You got to make a rule. Don't shoot at the United States.
Or if you prefer, Iran, blah, blah, blah. America haters are winning. The would-be communists, the Marxists, are winning in America. And they're doing so openly, and nobody cares.
I think giving the downtrodden money enables them. They aren't getting the money. I'm winning.
Good Lord, that was the voice of the patriarchy right there, folks.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Monday. So I have to, before I get to the emails, I'm sorry, I have to play this Elizabeth Warren clip. And, you know, Chris Van Hollen, I'll come back to Elizabeth Warren. I'm not getting sidetracked. Chris Van Hollen's been doing this whole press tour thing for the MS-13 guy who sent El Salvador. He's the senator from Maryland. He's the one that... Well, he was even forced to admit he went down there on taxpayer money.
Who did pay for this trip?
This was an officially cleared, you know, congressional trip, cleared on a bipartisan basis. Yes, like every other trip.
Yeah. It hasn't been a great week for old Chris Van Hollen. But Chris Van Hollen is, I would guess just by looking at him, I didn't look him up, I would guess he's in his 60s, maybe 70, but I would guess he's in his 60s, maybe late 60s. I'm probably not off that far on that. He's 66, Chris? Yeah, I figured. Chris Van Hollen has spent the last week like a teeny bopper on Instagram taking selfie videos of himself campaigning for an MS-13 non-citizen to be returned to America. And beyond all the evil of that, how embarrassing. How shameless and embarrassing. As a 66-year-old man, don't you have, maybe you're already there or past that, but don't you have images of yourself and kind of what you want to be at 66? I mean, I'll tell you right now, at 66, I want to be at my kids' t-ball or my grandkids' baseball games, t-ball games. I want to have a little beer belly. I'll tell you what, I'll probably wear cool hats because you can do get away with that stuff the older you get. I might walk with a cane even if I don't need one because I'm going to do whatever I want at 66 years old. I'm going to wear sweats everywhere because I feel like wearing sweats everywhere. Or I'll go the other way. Maybe I'll just wear a suit everywhere like some old people do and just look like a boss. But you know what I mean? When I say 66-year-old man, that's the kind of person you probably think of. This dude has been all over Instagram campaigning for an MS-13 barbarian, which brings me to Elizabeth Warren. Elizabeth Warren just lies about everything at all times, and not just small lies. Elizabeth Warren lied about being an Indian. And not only did she lie about being an Indian, she submitted recipes to a special Indian cookbook called Pow Wow Chow. I'm not making that up. That's a real story. And then Donald Trump, because part of what he's great at is making people angry, he trolled her by calling her Pocahontas to the point she took a DNA test to prove she was part Indian. The DNA test actually proved that she's probably the whitest person in the history of mankind. And then she published the DNA test that proved she was a liar. This is how sociopathic these people are. On top of all that, Elizabeth Warren lied about Joe Biden's mental decline. Everybody with a television set knew that Joe Biden was not 100% when he got elected, let alone 3 years later, 4 years later. He was a disaster. Everybody knew it. I'm going to play. It's like a minute long. I'm going to let the whole thing play. She sat down with this lefty podcaster. It's really hard to tell. He's a lefty. But she sat down with this guy. And to his credit, he asked her about it. Just listen to the level of sociopathic shamelessness you must need to be a Democrat politician.
Do you regret saying that President Biden had a mental acuity? He had a sharpness to him. You said that up until July of last year.
I said what I believe to be true.
And you think he was as sharp as you?
I said I had not seen decline. And I hadn't at that point.
You did not see any decline from 2024 Joe Biden to 2021 Joe Biden?
Not when I said that. You know, the thing is, He was sharp. He was on his feet. I saw him live event. I had meetings with him a couple of times.
Senator, on his feet is not praise. He can speak in sentences is not praise.
All right. Fair enough. Fair enough. Look, it is, the question is, what are we going to do now?
Okay.
How embarrassing and shameless. Just, there is a point. I have said it, and I'll repeat it again. I've encouraged you to run for office, and I encourage you to run for office. We need people just like you running for office. Ah, but I'm not educated. I don't want to hear about it. You're what we need. The losers who are in there are not. But I'm going to add something to this. I want you to run for office, and I want you to promise yourself, not me, yourself, that you will leave before you become whatever these people are. Because there's, I think after long enough campaigning or whatever, something in you just dies. And wow. Jesse, over the years, I've heard you reference yourself as white trash. I find your assessment to be utterly false and without basis. Just because you like the simpler things in life and can be regarded as a mensch. Chris, what's a mensch? It's a good guy? I am a mensch, Chris. What? To me, that makes you a stellar human being. The elite leftists represent the true white trash, for they only have evil goals, usurp power, and twist the truth. Thank you for your 3 entertaining hours each weeknight, providing great listening pleasure in your political insight, jovial personality, and historical lecturing talent. Your show is unique and special. Thank you, sir. Oracle. I just heard you say the purpose of the Second Amendment is to protect the citizens from a tyrannical government. I wholeheartedly agree. However, it's important to note that part of protecting the citizens from their government was endowing them with the power and responsibility to protect the nation from foreign powers. As I'm sure you know, the founders did not mean for us to have a standing army during times of peace. You're correct about this. And it's not only something I know, it's something I've talked about on the show. The founders thought that a large standing army would destroy liberty, inevitably, because they understood what I've talked to you about many times before. They understood human nature. This is all about human nature. I'll use the analogy I've used before. If I gave you a hammer, just the regular hammer, how long would you walk around with that hammer before you hit something with it? Maybe it would just be the palm of your hand. Would you, what if you were holding that hammer and nobody asked you to, and you looked over at the door frame and, oh, that nail's sticking out a little bit. Think, oh, go give it a couple little raps with it. Why? Well, there's this great line from the books, Game of Thrones, and I suppose they said it in the movie, in the show too, but in the books, the guy has this great line where he says there's a beast in every man and it stirs when you put a sword in his hand. When man gets a hold of power, he wants to use it. And this applies to governments and their militaries as well. When you build up a juggernaut of a military and you're a politician of any stripe, Democrat or Republican, you look out at all those troops and tanks and planes and wow. And you think to yourself, I should maybe do something with that. Inevitably, it will drain the treasury and it will drain the liberty of the country. We were always supposed to have a wonderful Navy. That's what the founders wanted. That's what they knew we needed to protect our country and our shipping lanes. And we were supposed to have a fairly bare-bones standing army with the people being armed to prevent invasion. That was how it was supposed to work. It doesn't work that way anymore. You're 100% right. All right, we're going to talk about James Clyburn, something he said, do a couple emails. I'm not going to forget to make fun of Jasmine Crockett. First, I want you to do something for me. Don't worry, it's free. It's not going to cost you a dime. I want you to do step one of the Hillsdale thing. I know maybe you've been hesitant to sign up to get some free courses from Hillsdale, because you have to go sign up and then you have to sit down. It sounds like school. Let me ask you something. What if you just signed up tonight? I'm not even asking you to take a course. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. There's no cost here. There's no cost. Go sign up. Once you sign up, you will eventually take your first course and then you'll be hooked. All I'm asking tonight is that you sign up. It's like working out. You know the easiest way to get yourself to work out? Put your athletic shoes on. When you put your workout clothes on, the second you tie your shoes, you're going to work out. After all, you're already dressed. Just get dressed. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Monday. We will be back tomorrow. You can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. So first of all, before I get to the James Clyburn thing, I saw another batch of Democrats flew down to El Salvador today. So obviously I realize they've made this guy a symbol and whatnot, but you do understand they're just taking a vacation, right, with your money? These people, they're all spending your money.
Who did pay for this trip?
This was an officially cleared, congressional trip, cleared on a bipartisan basis. Yes, like every other trip.
You know what a junket is, right? Maybe you don't, but here's what it's known as a junket. Don't ask me if that stands for something because I don't know. But when you're in Congress, the House or the Senate, there will be opportunities for you to travel internationally. These trips oftentimes are treated as trade delegation type things. You're receiving if you're the country that's getting these congressmen, you're receiving foreign dignitaries. And let me tell you something. They're taxpayer-funded vacations. And in this social media era, they don't cover up this fact very well. I remember they sent a congressional delegation, I think it was to Israel, if I remember right, a few years back, and they got in trouble for skinny dipping, I think, in the Dead Sea. Eric Swalwell has famous pictures of him riding a camel. I think it was in Egypt. They take vacations with your money. Remember, the reason most of these people become politicians is because they want to do the things rich people do with your money. They don't have any, so they want to do it with your money. You know there are a lot of these congressmen and senators on the Democrat side. They're going down to El Salvador to have this protest because they're going to go do a couple nights at a five-star hotel in El Salvador with your money. They're going to slap 5 margaritas on the taxpayer credit card with your money. This is a junket. It's a junket. Of course it was paid for by the taxpayer.
Who did pay for this trip?
This was an officially cleared, congressional trip, cleared on a bipartisan basis. Yes, like every other trip.
That's one. Two, we have an insane woman problem in the country. Here's Katie Fang interviewing Jasmine Crockett.
But I also want to say thank you for your continuing support for democracy. It's definitely something that you have made your brand, and it's the integrity that you're bringing, and I'm grateful for you always.
We'll miss you.
Oh.
They're crying. They're both crying. This is if you can see the screen, there's Katie Fang and there's Jasmine Crockett. They're crying. Probably fake crying like women do, but they're crying.
You can't have me crying at the beginning of a show, Jasmine. Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, you haven't seen the last of me. Thank you for being here and getting us started today. I always appreciate you. Thank you.
Gosh. So pathetic and stupid. Finally, remember, communism is a religion of conquest. Conquest. The communist believes in worldwide domination. Everything. Every single thing. When you're confused about the newest thing they infected and took over, the communist is confused that you allowed him anywhere. He wants all of it. And you know how you complain about the bias of the media and you mean it? You look at a media that's 99% biased against you and you're angry. You think that's unjust and wrong. And I'm here to tell you, he looks at the media and he knows the media is 99% on his side. And he also thinks it's unjust and wrong in the other direction. All he can see is the 1% he doesn't control, the 1% he hasn't conquered yet. Don't believe me? Allow me to hand the microphone over to one James Clyburn of South Carolina. Listen to his main gripe.
Well, I think the message coming from the Democratic Party is a good message. The problem we've got, is that we have to depend upon the media to deliver it. If we have the Washington Post, for instance, caving to this wannabe dictator, and we've got other media entities that seem to rather push a narrative that will bring eyes to their newspapers or to their television sets and not really give a fair hearing or reporting to what we're doing. And I have to rely upon people like yourself. But when you've got people saying we're not going to fact check, we're not going to worry about whether or not you're telling the truth, and just let the reports go out there, that's what's killing us as Democrats.
I really think he put it better than I ever could. James Clyburn turns on the news and, oh, yeah, he sees 99% Democrat talking points. And he sees the 1% of traitors that should be controlled. Pretty revealing, these people.
And now...
here's a headline.
Go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Leaked memo reveals NIH
and now,
plans to study the regret of detransitioners. A reminder that we had child... transing go through the roof as a recent trend, and children across the United States of America have massacred their bodies, now regret it. They want to take it back, and it's one of the great human rights violations in human history, and shame on you if you participated in it. Christian revival. Record number of adults baptized in France on Easter. I actually heard this across the country in America yesterday, that churches were more packed than people could ever remember. Maybe something wonderful is happening on the globe. U.S. duties. 50 countries call Trump. Let's negotiate. I officially have no idea how all this tariff stuff is going to work out or if it's going to work out, but I hope it'll all work out in the end. I'll put it to you that way. Let's hope tomorrow isn't the same kind of stock market day that today was. But what you gonna do? We'll do it again tomorrow. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.